Welcome to our Sunday message, Sunday the 26th October 2025. Our scripture reading is a well-known scripture from the book of James. Let's go to James chapter 2. I'm going to be reading from verse 14 to 20. James chapter 2 from verse 14 to 20. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? The title of this message is Putting Faith to Work. Putting Faith to Work. We have been pursuing a study on how you and I, as children of God, can become strong, powerful in spirit. I think of the book of Acts where the first martyr, Stephen, was described as a man mighty in faith and power, who did mighty miracles. And Stephen, for your information, was not one of the original apostles. He started out serving other people. And obviously he got hold of these principles and was turned by God into a mighty man, great in faith and power. And he did mighty miracles. That's for every one of us, if you read the scriptures correctly. God's not a respecter of persons. Every one of us is designed to do great things for God. But you see, before we can do them, we must understand how it works. And we need this power, as it were, in the form of faith. Faith is spiritual fuel, if you can put it that way. Food for the soul, but food for the spirit. Now, we have been talking about how that the Word of God has the necessary power in it. But just having the Word on our bookshelf or in our pocket is not good enough. There is a transfer. We spoke about this at length. The Word brings with it the supernatural power of God. Our duty is to extract that power into our spirit beings. Remember, faith is a substance of the spirit. It's not a substance of the brain. Our brains are important. We will talk about that in more detail. Unfortunately, very often the brain gets in the way. But you see, it's much more than just knowing. It's not good enough to know that God wants to heal us or somebody else. That's the starting place. But you see, we need to have the faith substance in our heart whereby we realize that not only does God want to heal us, the healing is available for us. That in a sense, he already has. And you see, we have to reach out with faith and take it. But how? That's the big question. And that's what we're dedicating these teachings to, an understanding. We mentioned how food is very important, and the quality of the food that you and I eat is critical. You will never develop your faith if you constantly consume a spiritual diet which contains what the Lord called leaven, and what I will call poison. Do you know there's a lot of teaching in the world that is Bible-based, but actually, it denies the power of God. It's an intellectual construct and sounds very good very often, very religious. It smells Bible, but there's something missing. What is it? That vital ingredient which builds our faith. Yes, it is the truth, but there's the spirit of faith behind teaching. And we can learn how to extract that faith from the Word for our soul, which is what we have been talking about. However, the process doesn't finish with just having a lot of word in us. The substance of the word in us is not enough. And this teaching is more than just one teaching, actually, so I'm just going to focus on the first part right now. But you see, the faith that you and I have in our spirit man, it doesn't matter how much we have. It's useless if we don't use it. It's useless if it's not put into practice. The faith that we receive from the Word has got to be put to work if it's going to grow. And that is a process. It's very much like having a lot of money in the bank but never spending it. Some people are like that. I know there are a lot of people that don't even have money in the bank and are spending it, credit, etc., and debt. But the other side of the coin is having a lot of money but not spending it. We knew a person who testified that as a young person growing up, she got a good job and she was making a lot of money. And because she didn't have any commitments, etc., she just enjoyed every month looking at her bank balance and seeing how it was growing. She took great pleasure out of seeing how much money there was in her bank. Now, if somebody gets pleasure out of that, I don't think it's not pleasant to know there's money in your bank. But you see, just having the money in the bank is actually pointless. And the reason is obvious. The money is there, and of course it can work for you in the banks, we know that. But the purpose for having money is to put it to work to benefit yourself and others, your family and people around us, of course. Money needs to be put to work. People that have a lot of money very often say that it's one thing to get money, it's another thing to know how to spend it. The point is this. You see, we have this ability to continually expose ourselves to the word and receive all the nutrients, as it were. We might be listening to the best preachers the world can provide, and there are many of them, praise God. But you see, if we spend our day in, day out, just listening, just absorbing, the whole exercise actually becomes pointless. And eventually, we don't really absorb anything because the tank is full. You can't put any more petrol into a full tank. Now you see, God's given us instruction to go out and do things for him. We've got to learn that we need faith to do these things. However, just getting faith is not the whole deal. That's the start. If we don't take the faith we have and use it, it'll actually accumulate. And in the body, if you feed it very well, thank you very much, but you don't exercise, we all know what it turns to. A three-letter word. Now you see, you can and I can very easily, knowing all of these facts about the word and what it does for us, end up being fat Christians. Fat, lazy, useless Christians. I think it's an epidemic, not only in the physical world, but in the spiritual world. We have to take that faith and put it to work. Can you see? We have to take it out there and use it up. The truth is, if you don't use it up, you can't refill. But the question is obviously, how do you and I use it up? Well, the truth of the matter is that being a Christian and remaining a Christian, living a righteous, upstanding life, does take faith automatically. You and I burn up faith every day, trying to minimize the influence of the enemy on our lives. But you see, we weren't designed just to survive, as we've been saying. We need to take the faith that we have and go and spend it, so to speak. Can you see? You think of that widow. She didn't have much. And the prophet said to her, go and pour. When she started to pour the oil, then it could be replaced. The pattern throughout scripture, you think of the five loaves and the fishes. Those five loaves and fishes, if they hadn't been given out, would have not reproduced. There had to be an emptiness for there to be a refilling. You think of the Lord himself, going up the mountain, coming down the mountain, doing great mighty signs and wonders, yes. But at night, what did he have to do? Go back up and fill up, you see. He had to restore his faith, replenish his faith in the presence of the Father. Now, you and I can spend our life just replenishing, but we won't get strong. We'll become overweight spiritually and inactive. And can I just say, not using our faith does become a habit. It is habit forming. It's a habit we have to warn against and challenge ourselves with all the time. And how do we exercise our faith? As I say, there's another teaching on the subject, but very simply, exercising our faith is trusting God for things that in the natural we can't actually achieve. As it were, stepping out the boat. If you go to a gym, for example, and you want to develop your muscles, you start exercising. In the process, what are we doing? We are chewing up energy. and we are breaking down our muscles. We don't go to the gym and build up our muscles. We build our muscles up because we went to the gym. Just think about it. The whole process of developing the muscles requires that we take the energy, we burn it off, and we break our muscles down. Can you see? That's why this faith business requires us to go out there and burn it up. And by burning it up doesn't mean that it gets bigger. It means that it now has to be replenished and our capability is greater to replenish it, if that makes sense. So you see, this faith business is a constant battle. Our faith grows. That means it doesn't just happen overnight, like the muscle. You go to the gym, you burn up the energy, you break down the muscle tissue, and then what happens? It gets restored. So next time, when you go to the gym, your muscles are more resilient. We have to take on a larger load to break the tissue down. If we don't break the tissue down, it can never build up. It becomes weak, lethargic, and incapable of achieving the purpose that we want. So you see, the same with our faith. We have to go out there and burn it up. Like I said, what does it mean to burn our faith up? It means to put ourselves in situations where God has to help us. Otherwise, something's not going to happen. It's a stepping out of the boat, a constant stepping out of the boat. Take, for example, the whole issue of praying for the sick. Many people say, oh, well, we're not healing evangelists. We don't pray for the sick. The Bible never said that only healing evangelists must pray for the sick. Yes, there is an office of healing evangelists. Thank God for it. But you see, the Lord said, if you believe, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Now, the reason why most of us are scared to lay hands on a sick person is because we doubt whether they will recover. But you see, if we go and we lay hands on the sick person anyway and pray with whatever faith we have, what actually is happening is we are burning off our faith. Perhaps somebody doesn't get healed. Don't worry about it. It's not our responsibility. It's God's responsibility. Our responsibility is to use what faith we have. And here's the key. As you and I use up our faith, the more we use it up, guess what? Our faith begins to grow in that particular area. Can you see? Talk about just praying aloud. Many people are scared to pray aloud. Why? Well, they say we don't know what's going to happen when we open our mouth and start to speak. Maybe I won't have any words. Well, open your mouth anyway. Step out there, praise God, and start talking to Him. Guess what? Every time we do that, you know what happens? We are burning off faith. And when we burn off faith, when we read the Bible, it gets replenished. And you see, our muscle, as it were, our faith muscle gets stronger. And amazingly enough, we find it easier and easier to pray. Not only just to pray for ourselves and for others, but to help others to pray. It's very important. Whenever you and I pray in public, we are not only building up our own faith, we're encouraging the faith of others. That's why we're on this earth, to bless one another, to build one another up. It takes faith. Very often, to go to work takes faith for some people. They might be facing difficult situations that are out of their control. The temptation is to stay at home and book in sick and hope the thing goes away. Well, you see, that's not going to help us in the long run. We need to get up, go, and just let the chips fall where they are. But in the process, know that your and my faith is being burnt off. When we are in the presence of unbelievers who speak doubt and unbelief about the living God, it takes faith to stick to our guns and remember that we are children of God, His word is true, and we're destined for heaven. We might come home a bit weary from this bad talking, etc. Sometimes there's a heaviness on us because of the environment we've come from. But you see, right there, what's the answer? Don't let it get you down. Get back into the word and do what? Build up your faith. Can you see? Build it up again. Replenish. You've just been to the gym, as it were, of the Spirit. If everything was plain sailing, you and I would just remain weaklings. There's so many ways in which our faith is automatically being burnt off. But there does come a time when we have to be specific about our faith. And I don't want to speak too much about it now, but very simply stated, you see, you and I, if we want our faith to really grow, we have to put it to work and select a particular task, something definite. Like I said, yes, our faith gets burnt off every day automatically, but we want to go beyond just survival, as we've been saying all along. And you see, there is a time when you and I have got to say, right, I want to build up my faith. What can I target? What is a specific faith challenge in my life that I can attach my faith to? The Bible speaks about vision, you see, hope. That's what it is, something to attach your faith to. If you and I are not believing for anything, we'll receive nothing, you see. And it's so important as children of God, as we walk on this journey, to start picking faith battles. And it's very important to choose wisely when you pick a faith battle. Very often we face challenges that are too big for us. And what often happens to Christians, because they've neglected to develop their own faith in the small things, we suddenly get hit with a big thing. And now our faith is not good enough, not up to scratch, and we need the help of others. That's how it works, not the end of the world. But you see, let's be people that have the big faith at the time that it's needed. That's what God wants. He wants an army, like we've been saying, over and over again. So you see, it's important for us to, as it were, be specific. If you and I just go to the gym and randomly pick up weights, we're not really going to get far. What helps in that situation is a trainer who says, okay, what do you want to train for? What particular muscles need to be exercised, you see? And we work on those particular muscles. And the key is to set goals, you see, something that we can achieve. So yes, we try and we fail, we try and we fail, but all the time we get a little bit better, and eventually, guess what? Bam! And then we move to the next level, you see? All the time moving up. But let's just talk about these faith battles. One thing that helped me a lot was, in the beginning, I had access to very good teaching, had very good teachers, all these wonderful teachings about faith. I saw it, I believed it, and I realized I needed to do something about it. I didn't have to go far to face a challenge, because like many people, the common flu virus often came around to visit me every winter. And it was quite common for me to get flu every winter and then get the medication that I needed. What was happening is I'd get flu once every season, and then it started to happen twice a season. And then it was going on for three times in a season. Anyway, to cut a long story short, I decided I'm going to take this on with my faith. And so when flu came around, I didn't take the medication. I purposefully decided to do it with my faith. And it was a battle, I'll be very honest. Normally you take medication, after a few days it's gone. But I decided, no, I'm going to do this by faith. It wasn't life-threatening. I mean, rather choose battles to start off with that are not life-threatening. But anyway, it started like that. After about 3 weeks of all the symptoms of spluttering and coughing and head like a bongo drum, nose like a waterfall, chest like a raging furnace, you know the story, I fought this thing with my faith. Very many opportunities came along my way. Family came and said, why don't you just take this? It always works. I just had to say very politely, thank you very much. But can I say, after 3 weeks, the miracle happened. The miracle happened. And suddenly, I was totally healed. And I knew that what had healed me was not just the natural process, although that is part of the deal, not to be underestimated, but I realized that faith had won the day. Faith had won the day. I knew it. I realized. And so you see, every time flu comes for me now, what do I do? I fight it with my faith. I don't even think of going to get medication. And does that mean that it gets easier? Well, if you understand the process, it does get easier, but it's always a battle, because I think various strains of these diseases are getting stronger in the earth, be that as it may. But here's the point. I realized right then that faith could actually heal sickness. I had personal experience of it. And then the next conclusion I came to was very simple, really. I realized that faith was supernatural. It was above any kind of sickness, and that it would work in any situation. And I realized right there that if flu could be beaten by faith, so could any disease, so could cancer. If you think about it, that's what the Lord said. All things are possible to him who believes. Everything's under our feet. It's throughout the scriptures, actually. So what I did right there, I wrote on the bottom of my shoes, cancer is under my feet. And I marched into the hospital, right into the cancer ward, and I started praying for sick people in general and sick children specifically. Quite an interesting thought, though. One of the first children that I prayed for, a little girl, was diagnosed with leukemia. The doctor's prognosis was that she wouldn't live beyond the age of 3. Well, after a few months of intense prayer, etc., etc., and very simply doing what I knew, just laying hands on the sick, basically, and trusting God, she eventually came through. And as far as I know, to this day, she's alive and well. Now, you see, we have got to understand that we can learn all the wonderful truths about faith. Listen to all the greatest exponents of faith in the earth. And all of that is good. We can have the finest, healthiest, most powerful food. And we should. We need to have a diet of that. But without putting that faith out there, in whatever way we know to at this stage, in whatever way that we're able to, it's not going to help us. And yes, your and my faith is chewed up, generally speaking. People who don't build up their faith one way or the other ultimately backslide. They fall off the bus. And they might say, oh, well, so-and-so did this to me, or this happened, or I got better informed, or a whole lot of things they might say. The truth is, their spiritual strength was weakened to the place where actually their spirit man died again. That's the process, you see. A child is born, but that child will not stay alive unless properly nurtured. Same with our spirit. How do we nurture it? Well, this is the point. It needs energy. It needs good food. But you can't just have a child in a home eating good food day in, day out, as happy as the child would be if it could do that. No, a child needs to go out there, run around, burn off energy, play in the sandpit, get dirty, crash the bicycle, fall off the tree, the whole thing that happens out there in life. What's happening all the time? All those germs have to attack the child, so what? The immune system can build up, you see, build up and build up. Same with you and I as children of God. We're in the world, yes. We're not of it, but we're in it. We need to be able to face it, and face it with power in us. And you see, as we do that, as we go out there and do the things of God, involve ourselves with people, burn off the faith that we have, remember to come back and get once again replenished. Feed our spirit man. Then, you see, we can maintain our faith life, our Christian walk, and have a good outcome at the end. But we need to go beyond just survival. And that's why we need to pick faith battles. Choose faith battles. And next week we're going to speak about that. Because you see, it's only when we are specific that we're able to develop our faith. And please note, faith operates in different arenas. You can have faith for one particular arena, but not for another. Many people will say, he was such a good Christian man, lived a holy life. Why did he die of cancer? Well, very often, not always, but very often what happens is the man develops his faith to live a godly life, yes, but maybe he hasn't trained himself up to fight off sickness and disease. So what does the devil do? What would any enemy do if considering an attack? Choose the weak area. Can you see? You and I have a duty to determine where the weak areas are in our lives and develop our faith for that particular need. But as I say, this is a whole teaching on its own, and we haven't got time to go there right now. So just for now, bear in mind, your faith is going to be burnt off, and that's not a bad thing. If you go to the gym and you don't come home tired, it's a waste of time going in the first place. God's designed the world around us to challenge our faith so it can be built strong. And I'm encouraging all of us to be people who, like Stephen, become great warriors. mighty men of faith and power, mighty people of God, doing great miracles for the Lord God and his Son Yeshua. Be blessed. Amen.